Galatians chapter 1, if you have it, say amen. Paul speaking to the Galatians here in verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man. Men didn't put me in this position, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So we see it is the will of God that we be delivered from the evil that's in this world. Amen. It is the will of God that you don't live bound, but you live delivered from the evil that is in this world. That you live separated. God is a God of separation. He said, you're either for me or against me. Go way back to the book of Genesis. He separated light from darkness. And you can go right down through the Old Testament. There were certain mixtures that God would not permit. He goes all through the Bible, hot and cold, lukewarmness, wheats and tares, sheep and goats. God is a God of separation. God does not like mixture. To whom be glory, verse 5, forever and ever, amen. And then verse 6, I marvel. It baffles me. I'm just amazed that you were so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto, somebody say, another gospel. Which is not another, because there's only one true gospel, but there be some that would trouble you, Galatians, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel. That's why I'm amazed that the Mormons can come with their label on their Bible, another testament of Jesus Christ. How many of us know there is not another? But Paul said it plainly to the Galatians, but there be some that would pervert the true gospel. They would add, they would take away, they would pervert it. And brothers, there is a spiritual aspect to spirits using men and using so-called ministers and so-called men of God to pervert the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're coming to a climax in this last day, and we are seeing a level of deception in this world like we've never seen before. And that's why me and you as believers need to take heed, brethren, that no man deceive you by any means. I don't care if they've got money. Just because they got money doesn't mean they're of God. Today we gauge a church based on how big their buildings are, how much money they have in their account, how big their outreach is. And now many of the ministries today, they're international this and international that, and they want to give you this mindset of how big we are and how far we're reaching, and we've got international ministries going into all the world, and that is biblical. But the motive of trying to put this out in the front and advertisements and all of their commercial aspects of their ministry is a motivation of pride that says we are somebody. How many of us know we are nothing without Christ? Amen. And just because they say they're of Christ doesn't mean they're of Christ. For Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 that just before his coming, many would come in the last days. And one of the key signs in verse 4, they would come in his name saying that I am Christ, but they would deceive many. A spirit of deception. We have got to be careful, brothers and sisters. But though we are an angel, verse 8, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men? Or God. How many want to be right in the eyes of God? How many want to do the will of God? Or do I seek to please men? For if yet I pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now in Galatians 1, he's dealing here very straightforward. He's letting the Galatians know that you've gotten off track and you have allowed some others come in. And he preached the gospel of grace, which is that man cannot earn salvation. It's Christ alone and the finished work upon the cross. Amen. We are saved by grace through faith, and that is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. What Paul's dealing with here is that some of the Judaizers wanted to bring in a lot of the practices and the traditions and saying that we've still got to continue to do things according to the law of Moses. And Paul comes along and says, listen, Christ has fulfilled all of that. You don't have to still bring sacrifices and shed blood for sin. And you don't need to go through all these ritualistic practices. Not that God is doing away with the law. Amen. That's not what Paul's saying. He's saying Christ has come to fulfill the law. This is something that needs to get our attention. That everything that we need is in Christ. Christ alone has everything that we need. Paul here is dealing with some that have come in and has tried to add to the gospel that he has preached. And let me tell you, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, you need to be careful that if any man add or take away from the words of this book, lest the curses of this book come upon you. How many of us know there's a price to pay for messing with God's word? For the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need not play with God's word. God's word is forever settled in heaven. But today, we have other gospels that are being promoted in this last day hour. Not everybody that says they're Christian are Christian. Not everybody that says I'm an apostle is an apostle. Not every man that says I'm a preacher is a preacher. There's a lot of people that will label themselves and self-exalt themselves with a title. But just because I say I'm a police officer and I put on a suit and a badge and a hat and have a gun with a belt doesn't make me one. Can you say amen? And Paul says there's some men that will come in as imposters, not true apostles, but deceivers, men that were never called of God, men that were never put in the position of authority that God has placed me in. He comes forward and he says, listen, I haven't been called by man, but I've been called by Jesus Christ. Paul is giving them his apostolic authority of saying, listen, this apostolic authority for me to set the churches in order hasn't been given by a man. I haven't been given a title by a man, but I've been given this authority by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He went ahead, and we know the testimony of Paul. He was on the road to Damascus and struck down by a bright light, and he heard a voice from heaven. He was kicking against the pricks, but God says, I have called you. I have chosen you. Listen, Paul didn't need to go to the other apostles and the other preachers and disciples and get their approval. He says, I have been called by the Lord Jesus Christ. I haven't been called by man, but I have been called by the one that has all power and authority in the heavens and the earth, and he has given me this authority over his churches. He says, who gave himself for our sins. And he begins to give the gospel message. That is why Christ came. Can I tell you there are gospels being preached today that are of man? They're by man. They are promoted in such a way where they leave out a lot of the true gospel. They've got gospels today that require no repentance from sin. That you don't have to confess your sin. I don't believe you can truly get saved unless you repent of your sin. Now we have a gospel that has dropped the words of repentance and turning from your sin. And now we've got preachers preaching that will simply just say, believe. Amen. Now that is biblical, and we can find scriptures to back that gospel up, that simply believe. But can I tell you, a man that truly believes in Christ and the finished work of Christ will understand why he came. Amen. The angels made that announcement. The whole purpose that Jesus Christ came was to save us from our sins. Can you say amen? And in true belief, true believers will understand the true gospel message is Jesus Christ came to save sinners from their sins. We had no hope outside of Christ, but Christ came to save us. Saved means to be delivered, delivered from sin, delivered from evil. This is the will of God according to the gospel. Jesus Christ in verse 4 of Galatians 1, who gave himself what? For our sins. That's your sin and my sin, that he might what? Deliver us. That is God's people from this present evil world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever would believe in him would not have to perish in their sin, would not have to go to a devil's hell, but they could find true salvation through the Son of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. They wouldn't have to die bound to sin and iniquity, but he came by the will of God to deliver us from our sins. Amen. So now that I have that foundational truth laid, I want you to understand this was the purpose of the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ coming, that he would save us from our sin. How many of us know we need to be saved from sin? Sin's looking to destroy you. Sin has power. Sin has power to destroy lives. All we got to do is look in this world, and sin is having its way in the lives of millions, if not billions. Sin is destructive. Sin is what separates us from God. And God help us that we would have preachers that would bring another gospel, trying to bring some other way that we can get to heaven. Just simply believe. No, it goes beyond believing. We believe to the saving of a soul. We believe and take hold of the finished work of Calvary. When he shed his blood is what conquered death, hell, and the grave. And when he rose again on the third day, he showed openly to all of humanity that he was who he said he was, the Son of the living God. Go with me quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul here addressing the Corinthians. There was a lot going on within that church that needed to be dealt with. But in verse 3, he says, and let's read it together, 2 Corinthians 11 and 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. In other words, deception. Giving us the example from the beginning in Genesis, so that your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Listen, the gospel is simple. The gospel message can be understood by the uneducated. The gospel can be understood by the poor, by the rich. Listen, you don't have to be smart. You don't have to have an education. The gospel, amen, was written through the pages of these 66 books in such a manner where even the most simplest man or woman or child could understand the words in this book. Now, I know there's hard things to understand, but if you really desire truth, God will reveal the spirit of truth to you. If you're hungering for something that is real, listen, brothers and sisters, we don't get a second chance. We've got to get this right the first time. And there's many people that are going to stand before the Lord in that day and say, Lord, Lord, I've done all these great works. Listen to the mentality of these people. They're casting out devils. They're laying hands on the sick. They're preaching the gospel. They're doing all these works in His name. But then He gives them the most horrible words that you could ever hear when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." Could you imagine taking your last breath, thinking that you're going to enter in to the joy of the Lord in the presence of God, but you have deceived yourself because you believed another gospel. The gospel, and the whole purpose of the gospel, was for humanity. Everything that God did was all for us. This whole plan of God from the very beginning was that God was going to have Him a people that would bear His image, would bear His likeness, and He was going to bring this great plan of salvation forth and fulfill it through one man, that is the man Christ Jesus. If you believe it, say amen. But Paul says, "I want you to know that the enemy is subtle." 2 Corinthians 11:3, that your minds would not be corrupted through the simplicity that is in Christ. And I want you to catch, and let's read verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 11:4 very carefully. "For if he that cometh and preaches," now he's talking about preachers. Somebody say preachers. People preaching the gospel. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom you have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." I want you to understand there were three anothers, which is simply, if you look up that word in the Greek, that another, two of them have the same word, but it has the meaning that it is totally different. It's not the original. It has a deception about it. Listen, when God brought forth His gospel and brought His Son into this world, there was no other man that needed to come and die for sinners. Amen. But can I tell you that there are religions across this world that are preaching other gospels saying that Jesus isn't the only way to heaven? But brothers and sisters, we know that is not so. The Bible declares to us that there is only one man, one name given among men, whereby we must be saved. And that name, somebody say it with me, is the name of Jesus. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one Jesus. But there's some that will come and promote another Jesus. Joseph Smith claimed, out in the middle of a forest, he's seeing some golden tablets. But I can tell you this, another Jesus came to him. Listen to me now. I'm not picking on the Mormons. I'm just telling you, they preach another Jesus. Amen. Millions and millions across the world have given in to this message of another Jesus. And can I tell you, I've got family members that are Mormon, and I'm not bashing them. I'm not putting them down. I'm here to warn you, there are good men and women that have fallen prey to the subtlety of the devil that says, "Oh, when I heard about the Joseph Smith story and I began to read the Book of Mormon, another testament of Jesus Christ, it just made me feel comfortable." Listen, the devil has his way of making your flesh feel good. The devil has his way of subtly making you think that this has got to be right because it feels good and it sounds good. Listen, the true gospel doesn't always make you feel good. Amen. The true Spirit of God, matter of fact, when it comes to us, the real, true, genuine gospel of Jesus Christ, when it comes to the soul of a man, it deals with the heart of that man. It convicts him of his sin, and it begins to lead him and guide him into truth. But I'm telling you, we've got another Jesus that's being promoted through preachers all over the world, and we need to take heed, brethren, that if any man come to us in any other name besides the name of Jesus Christ, let that man be accursed. There's other gospels being promoted, and some of us need to be aware of this because it is another gospel and another spirit. He said, if they come to you and preach, or if you receive another spirit. How many believe there's only one Jesus Christ? I don't care about the cults and the men that have come along saying they're Jesus Christ. We know they're deceivers, they're imposters, they're liars. They have been sent by the devil, and that's what the devil wants to do. But can I tell you, brothers and sisters, Jesus has all power, all authority in the heavens and in the earth. And when he came down upon the cross of Calvary, I'm talking about the Christ that died upon Calvary's cross. I'm talking about the one that took nails in his hands. Oh, there's other Jesuses that can be preached, but they don't have the scars in their hands. They don't have the scar in their side. There's only one Jesus that died upon that cross, was put in a tomb for 3 days. But on that third day morning, he rose again. I said he rose again. He rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he took the keys from the powers of the devil. Oh, and we don't have to be tormented through death anymore, because Jesus Christ came to bring life through his resurrection. Oh, I love the gospel. How many love the gospel? But I must warn you as a pastor, we are living in deceptive times. Not everything we see on YouTube's of God. Not everything we see and hear on the radio is of God. Matter of fact, a large majority of the preachers of our day, they preach just enough of the gospel to beguile and subtly deceive people that are good Bible-believing Christians. But I'm telling you, Satan is a deceiver. If he was able to deceive a third of the angels, and that's quite a thought, isn't it? If he was able to cunningly, subtly deceive a third of the angels to get behind him to try to overthrow God, what stupidity. But I'm telling you, the subtlety of Satan, the deception, do you understand he has the power to deceive angels? We're a third of them. And me and you are no match for this spirit. See, he ain't a devil with a pitchfork and horns. He is a spirit. He is an angel. Or if you receive another spirit, listen, I've heard a lot of folks speak in tongues. You know Catholics speak in tongues? Oh, yeah. Now, I'm not here to knock some of the big name preachers, but I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, true men of God have nothing to do with Catholicism. It's another gospel. They preach another Jesus, and they are of another spirit. Catholicism is leading the masses to a devil's hell. We've got preachers, full gospel Pentecostal preachers that are working hand in hand with the Vatican. They're working hand in hand visiting the Pope. And I'm here to tell you it's another spirit. It's another spirit. Oh, you're getting too critical, Pastor Davis. No, I'm trying to let somebody know. Take heed lest any man deceive you by any means. For many shall come in my name, but they shall deceive many. It is my obligation. It is my duty. It is my responsibility as a shepherd over the flock of God to warn you there is another gospel and there is another spirit that is coming into the church world today that is leading many away from Christ and not to Christ. We believe a little different. Our doctrine is different. The devil is a liar. We may not totally see eye to eye in Jesus the same. You see Jesus in this way, but our Bible sees him in another way. But oh, we're just all going to gather together, Catholics and Mormons, and it doesn't matter if you're an atheist. It doesn't matter if you're just some Christian that just believes but don't really believe in repentance, as long as you just believe. And I'm telling you,
These are the doctrines of men that have taken the true doctrines of the Bible. They have perverted them. They've added to them. They've taken away from them. But the true gospel of Jesus Christ, you know what it does, brothers and sisters? It begins to reveal what is that which is not of the truth. It brings a light. It shines a light. And it reveals that which is not of God.